So we're going to talk about web services now, which make use of a lot of asynchronous APIs from Windows 8.
Count you off.
Pardon?
Did he count you off?
Yeah, he counted me down. So what we want to do, since Windows 8 is for tablets as well as desktops, we want to be able to access the web. So this is how we do it. And we'll go into the details in a little bit. But basically, we create an HTTP client, which acts as a session for sending and receiving web requests and responses. And we give it a URI and tell it to get asynchronously. That URI will get a response. And then we can read the response asynchronously, get a string then that contains maybe JSON, maybe XML. We can parse it, do something, make another request. So how do we do this? And how do we do it so simply where we don't have to deal with things in iOS like blocks or extra methods or delegate methods? Well, let's take a look first at how we would do it in iOS so we can compare. In iOS, we would normally set up a mutable URL request object. And in the old way, and I'm sorry that's so small, but in the old way, we would create an NSURL connection and give it ourselves, the controller, as a delegate, and then override a bunch of delegate methods to handle receiving data, handling errors, being informed that we're finished, and caching, and so forth. This was okay, especially if you were dealing with one connection. It began to become a little clunky if you were dealing with multiple connections, because either you had to create multiple delegate objects, then your controller had to manage them, or you wrote your delegate methods in such a way that it would, you know, look at the connection that was being passed in and deal with each separate connection in its own particular way, whatever way was necessary. And once you get above a couple of connections, that became very awkward, and you had to have very large, complex delegate methods to handle that. In the new way, you would just make a request to Grand Central to asynchronously do your request, and then you would pass in a block for your completion handler. And that was much simpler. And that is much more akin to the way we do things now in Windows 8. You create an HTTP client object. It deals with HTTP request messages and HTTP response messages to send and receive the data. The response messages contain HTTP content objects, which encapsulates the HTTP headers and bodies of the message. And the nice thing is, HTTP client has its own pool of connections that it uses. You don't have to worry about the connection, so it takes care of the clunkiness of the original iOS way of dealing with things, and it leaves you with a very simple API for making requests. If you want to do an HTTP GET, you can call GET async. There are several different options for doing so. And likewise, for the other HTTP methods, post, put, and delete, they all basically have the same signature, except, of course, they take HTTP content objects so that you can fill out the data that you want to send. There's also a generic HTTP request message or method that lets you build your own HTTP request message of whatever type you want, get, put, etc. So you can have a more generic bit of code. Finally, there are alternate ways to get your data. If you want to get it as an array of bytes or a stream or a string, you can make use of these alternate methods. So what are we passing back and forth? Well, with web services, we're probably either going to deal with JSON or XML. So I'm going to take a look at dealing with JSON right now. Then we'll go back and take a look at that XML code, because you're going to be looking at the XML code tomorrow in the exercises. So to parse JSON in Windows 8, there's one way we could do it, which is dealing with JSON objects. A JSON value object can encapsulate either a Boolean, a number, a string, an object, or an array. A JSON object is a collection of name-value pairs, the name being a string and the value being a JSON object. The JSON array is a collection of JSON values, and then, of course, there's a JSON error for when the inevitable happens. So here's a string, C-sharp string, containing some JSON. Does anybody have any questions on this bit of C-sharp? Because there's some things in there that look kind of suspiciously Objective-C-like, like the at in front of the quotation marks. Is everyone okay with that or need an explanation of it? Pardon?
Yes.
Okay. The at sign in C-sharp in front of the quotes just means that this is a multi-line string. And then the places where you see two double quotes there in a row, that's just the way of escaping a double quote when you're inside that kind of string. So we have a JSON object in this string. It's basically an object that contains one name value pair. The name is greeting. The value is an array. And the array has two elements, which are both objects that have one name value pair within them. So it's fairly simple. Here's one way you could parse it with Windows 8 APIs. You can just call JSON values parse method. You get a JSON value back. That JSON value contains the object. From that, you can get a named array that's inside it called greeting. Then you can get the individual elements of that array and get their internal name strings word to get the internal values. So that's fine. Yeah?
Is that an NS dictionary you're describing? Is there anything like it or array?
The question was that something like an NS dictionary, and can you get at it? Essentially, these are JSON value objects containing JSON objects or JSON arrays. So it's not a generic, dictionary like set of objects. But, pardon?
Is it similar to the definition of the keyword and the value?
Yes, it's similar in concept, but it's not a generic dictionary though. It's similar in concept because that's essentially what JSON is. You know, named value pairs in an object, and then you can have arrays of those. So, but you can, you know, treat it. I mean, when you're writing code like this, you can treat it as if it, you know, was a dictionary. It's very similar. However, you can also enumerate over an array to get its individual elements. So, you can access the collections that way. But there's another way. It would be nice if, since we're writing code in C-sharp, if we could actually deal with C-sharp objects and just serialize them to and from JSON as needed, but when we deal with them in our code, use C-sharp objects. So in order to serialize C-sharp to JSON, let's assume we're planning a conference and we want to make our API for our conference sessions available to people to write their own schedule apps. So we're going to have a conference session class with a title, a room, a time, and a speaker, and we'll have a speaker class which has the speaker's name. Very simple. We use the data contract, has data contracts been covered yet? Okay, well, that will be covered, and you will understand it. But for right now, let's just say that what we're doing is we're saying that we're going to have a contract that says there is this thing called session speaker that has this thing called name. The string name there is the name of the value, the name value pair that will appear in JSON. And the same thing with the conference session, those data members, title, room, time, and speaker, those are the actual names of the strings of the name value pairs in JSON. So this links up the C-sharp object with the JSON object. And when we're making a contract, and that will be covered later on in another session, what a contract is. But using those contracts, we can initialize our C-sharp array. And so it has some data in it. And all we need to do is create a memory stream and use the data contract JSON serializer. And I thought that Objective-C and Cocoa had some long names. But you can create that serializer, tell it that it's dealing with a conference session array, and then you can just write that array to the memory stream using the write object method. And you've serialized your C# array of objects to JSON. And then the last three lines simply let you prove that. You go and go to the beginning of the stream, and you read the stream, and you send the result as a return value, which is a string containing the JSON values. Sure.
So this is going one way, and it's C# constructing data or taking data and translating into JSON. Right. From your conversation, I'm assuming the opposite is true. Servers constructing something, the contract tells you this key means this, and it goes into this C# object?
Well, actually, this could be the server code, because let's say the server is running this C# code. It's going to make the sessions available to the web, so it's serializing those C# objects to JSON, which will be sent to the client.
This is in a perfect world. Our server is Ruby on Rails, and it ain't shifting anytime soon.
Okay, so that case doesn't apply to you. But this is serializing C# objects to JSON. And so if you needed to, let's say someone was making a conference app that was a little more fancy, and they were going to allow someone from their mobile device to edit, you know, add or change conference sessions, then yes, you would use this to serialize your C# objects on your mobile device to ship them up to the server as JSON.
Yeah, I was asking server end. So server end is putting JSON, and then you're coming down, and that same contract will take this JSON format and go, oh, this is how I shove it into a conference C# object.
Yes.
Or are you about to say cover that? And I'm.
We can do it the other way around too, and we're gonna cover that. You can do it both ways. That way, you can serialize your C# objects to JSON, ship them over the web, whichever direction you're going, and then when you get a JSON string containing these conference objects, you can deserialize them into C# objects, and do whatever you need to do. So that's what we're going to look at right next is deserialization. And so we use the same data contract JSON serializer of the appropriate type and array of conference sessions. And this time we get the bytes out of that JSON string using the proper encoding and simply read those objects using the data contract JSON serializer into our C# array, and we're done. It's extremely simple. And it's similarly simple with XML, as we saw in the first slide, which I'm going to go back to so you can compare and contrast now with the JSON. But are there any questions first? Okay. Also, we're covering what Windows 8 provides. But just as with iOS, where you can go to GitHub and find many, many libraries of code that have been written that overlay on top of that, that provide more functionality or in different ways. You know, I just wanted to mention that there is a library for JSON serialization and deserialization, that it's a very high performance library, provides a lot of extra features that sits on top of this API that's called JSON.net. And so, you know, look at CodePlex. This is up on CodePlex to find libraries to not reinvent the wheel. But I'm not going to go into detail on these things because we're just covering, you know, Windows 8 APIs. But I wanted to make sure that you're aware that there is a community out there of open source developers that are providing these things. So we saw that JSON serialization. Here is that analogous XML that we looked at the beginning, where we do an X document parse, and we get the document as XML. And tomorrow, or whenever the labs are they tomorrow or are they this afternoon? Okay, so when you have a chance to do the labs, you'll be doing an exercise where you'll be parsing the XML, and I'll show you an example of what that document or that application is going to look like. Not sure what's going to happen when I actually have to exit. So you can take a, this is a little bit of what you'll see tomorrow in the exercise, but you can see bits and pieces of that code for the XML slide, and then further what you're going to do to it to parse the XML. But it's very, very simple. And when you run it, and of course it runs on the other screen. And mirror them. I can't get it to appear. Okay, well, that's it. At any rate, you'll see the app tomorrow when you do the exercise. Are there any questions?
Of course.
Just give him a separate mic.
Just give me a mic, it's fine. Okay, so it was very nice. You talked about HTTP. Mm-hmm. Almost all of our access is HTTPS with authentication. Mm-hmm. How easy is that?
Well, I can show you.
Thank you.
After I now fix the fix what I did here. Okay. So in this example that you'll be working with, up here where we create the URI that will be used to do the GET. Just stick, let me stop it running. Just stick an S in there.
That is dual authentication if necessary.
Okay, if you're talking about doing OAuth and all that sort of thing, then no, you will have to do that. And again, look at things on CodePlex. People have written libraries for various services and examples. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks a lot.